Well, can I add my welcome to that of Stuart and to the others that have been leading our service this morning? It's great to be together. And please do pick up a copy of Mark's Gospel if you've got one. If you haven't, I'll try and make sure that we put the verses that we refer to on the back bottom, or the sentences on the bottom of the screen for you so that you can see them. But we're starting right at the beginning of the book of Mark, Mark's account of Jesus' life. And it's part of the Bible. And so let's ask God, because God has caused the Bible to be written. It's what he wants to say to us about himself and about us. So let's just pray and ask him for his help, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much indeed that you caused Mark to write this account of Jesus' life. And we pray that you would help us to see more of who you are, to see him for who he really is, for why he came, and for what that means for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you just to think for a moment about maybe one or two words that you would use to summarise what the Christian message is. If somebody asked you to describe Christianity, what one or two words would you say to them? Just have a think about that yourself, or if you're with other people in watching this video and watching this service, then perhaps have a chat to them. Well, I wonder what you thought of. I guess a number of us will probably say to do with Jesus or to do with Christ. Well, Mark wants to tell us it's to do with good news. It's to do with good news. Let me just put that up there, like that. And you can see that in the first sentence of Mark's account of Jesus' life. He says, the beginning of the gospel. Now, gospel is an old way of speaking about good news. It's literally that, good news. And right at the end of our reading, again, the last sentence, when Jesus starts to speak to people, he says these words, repent and believe the good news. Mark is saying to us, and Jesus is saying to us, that Christianity is all about good news. Maybe that is something new to you. Maybe you've always thought that Christianity is dull and boring, but Christianity is about good news. And we all want good news, don't we? At this time of coronavirus, we are longing for good news, to hear that the virus is dead, or there's a vaccine to keep us safe from it, or even medicine to make us well if we got it. And as we hear the bad news that coronavirus is again in West Yorkshire and people are having to go back to lockdown, we want to hear that sort of good news. Well, Mark here says that he's got good news for us. In fact, as we're going to find out, this is good news, not just for some people, but for everybody. Whether you're rich or poor, young or old, whether you're sick or healthy, black or white, from the UK or from another country, happy or sad, this is good news. And the good news here is all about Jesus. Do you see that? The beginning of the gospel about Jesus. There we go. So I'll just pop that up there to remind us. The good news about Jesus. It's all about him. That's who Christianity is about. And that shouldn't surprise many of us, I guess. But sometimes it can get lost. The wood can get lost in the trees, can't it? And we can't quite understand or can't quite see things clearly. Christianity is about Jesus. And this morning I want us to start thinking and looking at who Jesus is, at why he came, and the so what, the question about, well, what does this mean for us? And I'm going to put these on the wall to remind us now, and we'll be coming back to those questions a number of times during these Sundays, thinking about who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and so what. What does that mean for you and for me? And we're going to spend our time looking at Mark's account of Jesus' life. Because Mark knew Jesus. Mark was a follower of Jesus. Mark is telling us what he has seen and knows to be true. Now, let's just start then with that first question. Who is Jesus? And if you look there at that first sentence again, we can see more about who Jesus is. And the first thing to note about Jesus is about his name. Jesus, that is his name. And names today mean things. People get given names for all kinds of different reasons. You may like to ask your parents why you were called the name you were called. My mum and dad called me David. And they called me David because they wanted a short name. They called my twin brother Peter, another short name. But Jesus is called Jesus because God wanted him to be called Jesus. Because it was telling us something about who he is. That he is God's rescuer. Jesus is God's rescuer. Because you see, the name Jesus means the Lord God saves. Jesus is God coming on a rescue mission. And we're going to find out what that rescue mission is when we look at why Jesus came in a short while. But also we can see something else about who Jesus is. He's Jesus Christ. Now that's not Jesus' surname. That's not his family name. That's a title. It's not like my name, David Middleton, my family name. No, this is Jesus' title. And it's a title that has a meaning also. And Christ means Christ means God's King, God's anointed King of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. That's who Jesus is. Wow, that he's quite important then, isn't he? And then we're also told this other thing about Jesus, that he is not just Jesus Christ, he is also the Son of God. And that's telling us that Jesus really is related properly to God. He is God come as a man into our world. And it's also another way of saying that he is God's King, God's Christ. So who is Jesus? Well, he's a rescuer. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. He really is very, very important then. But why did Jesus bother coming into the world? Well, we can see this by looking at the last two verses or sentences of the reading that we had this morning, verses 14 and 15. We're told here that as Jesus goes out and speaks, he says this, verse 15. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Did you hear what Jesus was saying is near? Just have a look at that verse. He's saying that the kingdom of God is near. Now, when somebody is near somewhere, that doesn't mean to say that you're actually there. So if I'm going to Meadow Hall, the big shopping centre across the town, and if I'm going there, I'm near, I get nearer and closer to it. But then I finally arrive and I'm in it. Near means that we're next to it, but not part of it. And Jesus says, look, actually, the kingdom of God is near. And he's saying, look, you can be part of it. Jesus is saying, look, actually, I've come so that you can be part of it. And the thing about the kingdom of God is that it's a kingdom where God is king, isn't it? The Queen of England is queen in England. God is king of his kingdom. And that means that the people who are part of God's kingdom live with him as their king. They let God call the shots. He is the boss. Now, if you think about how you and I live, do we always let God call the shots? I don't think we do, do we? We don't always love God and live for God. And it's as if we almost sort of shake our fists at God occasionally. We turn our backs to God. We don't want to hear what he has to say. We don't want to know or read what he has to say. We don't want to know what he or who he is. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Turning away from God and living our lives our own way. saying, God, I'm in charge, not you. And the problem with sin is that it means that we cannot enter God's kingdom. If you think about it, if you're not somebody who's living with God as king, then there's no way that you can come into his kingdom. And that's the problem we all have. We can't come into the God's kingdom because we're all sinners. That means that we need a rescuer. That means that we need a rescuer. And Jesus is saying, look, the kingdom of God is near because I am the rescuer. That's what my name means. That's what I've come to do, to rescue. I am the one who's going to rescue you so that you can come into my kingdom now and to be part of it forever when we die. See, Jesus has come into the world to rescue us from sin. That's something far, far more dangerous than coronavirus, than cancer, than poverty. Because it keeps us out of God's kingdom now and forever. That is the why. And we're going to see how Jesus does that rescue as we go through. And he does it in the most amazing way. And then finally, the so what. What does this mean for you and me? Jesus' last words there in the final sentence of verse 15 say this. Repent and believe the good news. That is the message. Jesus is telling the people then, and you and me, this is the so what. This is the answer to so what do? We repent and we believe. That first word, repent, you can see it. It's got a U-turn. Somebody's going in one direction and they turn around and go in another direction. Back in history, back at the time when Mark was writing, the Roman soldiers were all over the world. And when they were going in one direction and going the wrong way, then their boss, the centurion, would shout out this word in Latin. He'd say, repent! And if they were marching this way, they'd all turn round and start marching the other way in the right direction. And repent is basically doing that. It's saying, sorry to God. I'm sorry, God. I've gone the wrong direction. I've gone away from you. And I live my life my own way. And I'm going to turn back to you and start living with you now. So Jesus says we need to repent and we need to believe. We need to believe who he is, that he is the Christ, the King of God's kingdom. The Son of God, God come into the world, and the rescuer that we all need. It means we've got to trust him. Just like we trust all kinds of other people in this life. But Jesus is totally trustworthy. We will never be let down by him. Now, that may sound like something that's too good to be believed. You may be sat there thinking, okay, David, you've said this is good news, but why should we believe you? Well, I want to give us three very short reasons why we should believe this good news. And they all come from the middle verses or the middle sentences and paragraphs that were read out earlier. And the first one is this. The first reason is that the good news was promised by God. We see this in verses 1 through to 3. You see, the good news message about Jesus coming, it's not new. It wasn't something that Mark dreamt up on a boring day when their version of coronavirus was keeping everybody at home. It was something God had promised for hundreds and hundreds of years. And here we have two of those such promises. First, a promise saying that God's going to send a messenger ahead of his Christ, his king. If you look back at Malachi, you'll see that, Malachi chapter 3. And then Isaiah the prophet says something even more about this Christ. He says, prepare the way for the Lord. He's saying that the Christ is none other than the Lord God. And so Jesus isn't just the Son of God. He is fully God and fully man. And that means we really must take Jesus very seriously indeed. And if you don't believe that, read on in Mark and see the kind of things that Jesus does. He walks on water, calms a storm just like that. Feeds 5,000 people with a packed lunch, raises the dead, and even comes back to life 3 days after he is killed. So that's the first That's the first reason or proof as to why we should trust this good news. God promised it for hundreds of years, and you can see that in the Bible if you read the Old Testament over and over again. And then the second reason or piece of evidence is in verses 4 to 8. This good news was prepared for by God. God thought it was so important that he was going to prepare people for it. Those two prophecies by Isaiah and Malachi that we just read. Those were hundreds of years before Jesus came. And they promised that a messenger would come. And so verse 4, look down there at verse 4, it says, "And so John came." John is the messenger, preaching and calling people to repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. Same thing. Saying that people needed to repent, to turn away from going their own way and turn back to God and live their lives in relationship with him, loving him and living for him. That's what true repentance looks like. And they needed to do that. That's how John prepared people. He said, "Repent. Repent. And you can have your sin forgiven. Not because you deserve it, but because God will do that." And we're going to see more about how that happens as we go through Mark's Good News Gospel account. So it's repent, turn back. It's so kind and loving of God, isn't it? To do that, to say, look, look out. I'm coming into the world, so get ready. Get ready. And that's exactly what John does. He's saying, look, get ready, because somebody who's so, so important, we can see how important Jesus is. John says, look, actually, I can't, verse 7, even stoop down and untie his sandals. And that was a job that even the lowest slave did there. John says, I can't even do that for Jesus because of who he is. I wonder about you. Have you seen that's who Jesus is? He also says, I baptize you with water. I can just make you wet, but Jesus will baptize you with God the Holy Spirit coming to live in you. Imagine that. That's why John was having to get people ready. Because if we're all sinners, then there's no way we can come face to face with God. We've got to get our sins sorted out. And so God graciously prepared everybody. That's the second reason why we should trust the good news. God promised it. God also prepared us for it. And then also God proved this good news to be true. Jesus himself went to be baptized. We can see that in verses 9 through to 11. And as Jesus comes to be baptized, we're told that he doesn't come to confess here. There's no confession like everybody else. Jesus hasn't sinned. So he doesn't need to say sorry to God. And Jesus' baptism isn't like everybody else's baptism. First, we're told that the heavens are opened. Second, we also see that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes down on Jesus. And then third, God the Father speaks and says, "This, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." You see, God himself has proved that Jesus really is the Christ, and that the good news that he is bringing about forgiveness of sin and being brought into the kingdom of God, well, that is true. That is true. And so this morning, I want to say to each one of us, and I want to ask each one of us, what do we make of this good news? It may well be that you've been a Christian for quite some time. And if so, I hope this has encouraged you and given you real joy in your heart about the good news of Jesus. That it really is the good news, the best news that you've ever heard. I hope and pray that that will help and encourage you to live for Jesus and to tell others the good news, even this week. Perhaps it might encourage you to get others to come and watch the YouTube channel, or even to come and ask questions midweek. Maybe others of us watching today who perhaps, well, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Well, I hope and pray that this good news is beginning to excite you about who God is, about who Jesus is, about why he came and the so what. Because it is so personal to you and to me. And it really does make sense of one of our lives, because we've only got one life to live. One of the books that we've got for adults, and if you want a copy of it, we can send you one. It's called One Life. And I want to just read to you something that happened in London a few years ago. A few years ago, a London newspaper did an experiment. They had a person stand outside Oxford Circus Underground Station and offer people leaflets. And on each one was written a simple instruction, and it's this. Bring this piece of paper back to the person who gave it to you, and they will give you £5. Well, whenever anybody sees somebody giving out something, of course, they all rush up and they want it. But you know what? Loads of people took the leaflet. But in 3 hours, only 11 people came back for a £5 note. And that, I think, tells us something about each one of us, doesn't it? Is that we find it very hard to believe good news. And so what I want to say to each one of us today is, don't miss this good news. Don't just take what we've heard this morning. Don't just take that message that we've heard, like those people did outside Oxford Circus, and just throw it away. Don't even think about it. Do get in touch with us. Do phone us or email us if you've got questions, or if you want to join in a midweek group. I hope and pray that families will be settling down together, perhaps the youngsters to read The Empty Tomb, the youth to get stuck into Epic and have a real explore, an adventure, getting to know who Jesus is. And likewise, the youth with Soul and CY. But what I do want to encourage us all to do is to watch next week and to keep on having our minds and our hearts shown who Jesus really is. Well, I'm going to pray now and ask that God will do that for each one of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much indeed for the good news. Thank you that it is the good news about who Jesus is, about why he came, and about the so what for us, what it means to us. And please, I pray, would you help each one of us to repent and believe, to trust in this good news, to believe it and so come to know you and the life-changing friendship we can have with you now and forever. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.